Enjoying that little bit of touch of cooler weather. That gives me hope. Summer is about over, but the harvest has not ended. And so we need to continue to try to harvest the field, to bring in souls, and do our part to tell others about Christ. I'm glad you're here this morning, and it looks like we have several visitors with us this morning. Any first-time visitors? Would you raise your hand, first time? All right, well, good. I want to encourage everybody, if you can, at all possible, be here next Sunday as we honor our pastor's 50th anniversary as being pastor of this church. Amen. And also his 80th birthday. And what a blessing. And we are definitely a blessed congregation to have such a leader, a man of God. And so you pray for him. And again, if at all possible, please be here next week and immediately after the service, we will be having a fellowship meal over in the fellowship hall, and there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer there on the left-hand side, right there before the men's restroom. If you haven't signed up, please do so. They need to have an accurate count. If I understand right, it's going to be catered. Is it going to be catered? Is that correct? Okay. And so they need a good count. And if you don't eat, it's because you didn't sign up. No, just kidding. But let's do that and be in prayer for our pastor now more than ever. What a milestone in his life. And the Bible says, give honor unto whom honor is due. And I believe he is worthy of it. He's kind of like the Apostle Paul. He wants us to follow him, but as he follows Jesus. And so let's continue to do that and lift him and Sister Linda up in prayer. Because I guarantee you, he couldn't have made it 50 years without her. Amen. And, man, we need to be thankful for our wives and praise the Lord for them. All right, well, let's get started. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 23 again. And last week I started to explain something, but somehow I didn't. And I want to make sure I make it very clear. How many of you are familiar with what a cult is? We have to be very, very careful not to be cultish, not to become a cult. But it's kind of easy to spot cults, if you will, because they worship the leader instead of God. And yes, we need to lift up our pastor. Yes, we need to pray for him and honor him. But he always points us to Jesus. And that's who we should be worshiping. And we're going to be in Proverbs 23. And what brought this up is I've experienced this in my ministries that the Lord has allowed me to have through the years. There are some simple-minded people in churches. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but there are some people that you absolutely have to be careful what you say to, because they will take it and not think about it, and they will try to enforce what they hear, which is good. We ought to enforce what we hear from the Bible if it's biblical, but in the right context. In the right context and with the right measure. And again, that's a hard thing to do. One of the things that we suffer from, and I do, is consistency. And we all need to be consistent in what we do. And last week, I started talking about Proverbs, and we were in Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to go there again, verse 13. Let me know if you're there. And before we get started, Brother Tom Duncan, would you open us in prayer, brother? Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. Honestly, there should be no argument whatsoever with this. But then it says, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. And what I really want to clarify today and to work on to start off, I don't care how far we get today, the word beat, it has been misused. It can mean to beat severely, to pulverize, to cause great pain. But please understand, when we're talking about these things in the Bible, we need to look at everything in context. As I did mention last week, and I'll reiterate it this morning, not everything is a spanking offense. Please understand that. Not everything is a spanking offense. Is there a thing called ignorance? I'm not talking about ignorant, but ignorance. What I mean by that is there are things that people do not know better. Therefore, they need to be instructed. And when they do wrong, they may not know they're doing wrong. Therefore, we need to clarify things with them. Then when a person does to know to do better, and then they don't do what they're supposed to, then we have to decide what is the punishment that is required by that. And by the way, that's going to take you being in touch with God.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And that's why it's very important. Remember, God gave parents the children. And we are going to give an account to God, especially fathers. We will give an account to God for how we raised our children, what we taught our children. And that terrifies me. It really does terrify me. And I tried to do my best. I understand that. But I failed. I failed in many ways as a dad, as a father. But I thank God for allowing me to see it. So now as a grandpa, when I see my sons following in the same way, so to speak, trying to handle things incorrectly, I'm like, hold on a second. I did that wrong. I don't want you to do the same thing. All right? Because we don't want to drive people away from the Lord. We want to bring people to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, when it talks in Hebrews that we should honestly invite the chastisement of the Lord, because that means that we belong to Him, first of all, which is the greatest thing, to belong unto the Lord. But secondly, that He cares enough, He loves us, that He wants us to do right. And God does not beat us on the first offense. Amen. But the word beat, I think we need to understand what it means. So I looked into Webster's 1828 dictionary, I think it was. But it says beat. It says to strike repeatedly. Does it mean, I didn't read anything that says to what force or to, you know, what strength? Please understand that. So it says to strike repeatedly, to lay on repeated blows. What was the maximum under the law that someone could be struck? 40. Okay, so keep that in mind. It says to lay on repeated blows with a stick. That would kind of be the rod. Would you agree with that? With the hand or fist. Uh-oh. Or with any instrument, and for any cause, just or unjust, or for punishment. Now that's just the definition of beat. That is not in the Bible saying you need to strike blows to cause damage, to cause harm, but you can give strikes or blows in a way that gets attention. I told you, there's a direct nerve, it seems to be, from the rear end to the brain, that once you apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge, something starts to wake up in the brain. But again, is that necessary when you are disciplining a child? Now, the Bible says, withhold not correction. So there is a time that we do correct children. Please understand that. How many of you grew up in a school system where you got paddled at school? They would absolutely die today. Okay? Now, there are some schools that allow it with permission. And I told you about, you know, there was no such thing as the double jeopardy law in my house. It was double punishment in my house. You got it at school, you're getting it at home, bud. So that taught me a lot. Praise the Lord for that. I learned quickly, by the way. What's the difference between a slow learner and a fast learner? Anybody know? Whether you have one black eye or two, okay? You know, trying to make light of things, trying to help you understand, but you can correct a child in the wrong way. And there are people, and I've had, like I said, I've had them in my ministries throughout the years. You tell them to beat that child, they'll beat that child for everything. And harshly. And that is not God's intention. And again, there is a severity, but we need to come to an understanding with God of what that should be. And one thing that will help you, moms and dads, is how does God deal with you when you disobey?
Amen. Amen.
And that has taught me a lot. Because I was gung-ho, oh, you messed up? Well, the Bible tells me to correct you. And I could do it in the wrong way. I could do it with the wrong severity, if you will. And then we can harden our children's hearts not only towards us, but more importantly towards the Lord. And so just remember that. And by the way, remember, children see our faults as well, our failures as well. And they see what happens to us. And they don't see us getting corrected unmercifully, do they? So we need to make sure that we shine bright for Christ. But it does mean to strike repeatedly, to lay on repeated blows with a stick, with the hand or fist, or with any instrument. Now please, I hope that you never hit your children with your fist. I really hope and pray that that has never happened. If it has, I hope that you will apologize to your child, that you will repent to God, go to him and ask him for forgiveness as well. That's just not acceptable. Okay? By the way, nor should any blows be towards your spouse. Amen. All right. I think there's a special way to deal with that anyways. So here we have it. It says, for any cause, just or unjust. Now, what does the Bible expect us to do? Should we strike unjustly or justly? Justly. So there is a difference. Now, I read out of a dictionary. That's not the Bible, but at least the dictionary has definitions that are closest to what the Bible is teaching. And that's very important as well. And then there's the rod. Does it not tell us to correct our child with the rod? It says in the end of verse 13, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, have you ever said wrongly, or, you know, just spoke wrong, you know, I'm going to beat you to death if you don't quit? Well, if you beat them with the rod correctly, they're not going to die. Okay? So that's something to keep in mind. But what is the rod? I think that's important. Because here, too, I have seen, unfortunately, people in my ministries, not because I taught them wrong, but because they interpreted it wrong, they would use anything that appeared to be a rod to beat their children. Unmercifully. We ended up with foster kids because of that. And so I just want to warn you, but there are some people out there that will take everything to the nth degree without even thinking about it and cause great harm not only to their children, but even to the cause of Christ. And I want to make sure that we cover this. Well, what is a rod? It says the shoot or long twig, now think about that, of any woody plant. A branch or the stem of a shrub. How many of you grew up with those wonderful grandparents or parents who said, go out and get me a switch? All right. So when we think about that, is that a biblical definition for a rod from what the definition of rod is? Absolutely. And when you think about a twig, how easy do twigs break? Now, if they're dry, that's wonderful. But if you had the parents or grandparents that I just mentioned, they would want you to go out to the live tree, pull off a branch off that live tree where it wouldn't break at the first hit. But boy, it was sure a wrap, wouldn't it? How many of you had those little whelps that go around your leg or your hind end and things of that nature? So, again, beating, it does mean to strike, but it doesn't say to what extent or force. But it does tell us to do it, so therefore we need to learn how to do it. And then what should we use? Well, this talks about something off of a plant or a tree. I have seen people, I know of people who have used PVC pipes, metal pipes, 2x4s. Does that sound the right way? It's not. In Wyoming, where we were at, you could discipline your child, but you couldn't use any instrument. You had to use your hand. And I did mention, I think it was last week, that, you know, you need to make sure of what your state laws are so that you don't get yourself in trouble with the law. And there's times your state may prohibit any kind of chastisement and correction. That's a good indication. You probably need to move out of that state. Okay? We ought to obey God rather than men, but at the same time, we are to obey the authority that is over us, and that includes civil government. So be careful. Be careful. And I'm saying this because I have seen the opposite end of these things being carried way too far, being not done correctly, and then you wonder why people don't want anything to do with God. And it's because either ourselves or those who have done this in the wrong way have not represented God well by what they did. And so we need to be careful, and this is not a gushy, wonderful subject to talk about, but it's something necessary to talk about. You are to correct your child. But you need to determine, and this is between you and the Lord, at what point do I cause physical pain with a rod the right way to that child? That's something you have to come up with. But again, the first offense is definitely not the answer. How many of you understand that? How many of you that have children, how many of you expected your child to understand automatically what was good and wrong? I did. Okay? But they have to be taught what is good and wrong. Now, we do have a spirit inside of us that lets us know these things. And I'm talking about even before we get saved, before we have the Holy Spirit, there's something inside of us, the spirit of man, that lets us have an indication, maybe I shouldn't do this. And we can either obey it, or we can ignore it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The world likes to call it a conscience, correct? How many of you realize that a lot of people don't have a conscience anymore? And it's all because we haven't brought in the Word of God the way we should. We haven't taught people. But a person that doesn't know better, it's kind of hard to hold them, an account for that until they do know better. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so we are to train. Is training fun? No. Have you ever had to teach the same lesson more than once? More than twice? Has God ever had to teach you a lesson more than once? More than twice. Are you a fast learner or a slow learner? And so just keep these things in mind. But again, we are direct representatives of Jesus Christ, and how we handle things is going to form the opinion of our children about God. Now, how many of you want your children to be drawn to God? How many of you want your children to know God? Well, let's represent him well. Now, if you were like me, I got saved at 21. Generally, yes, I knew between good and bad, but I wasn't instructed on a lot of things. And God showed mercy. Praise the Lord for that. But the things that I did commit, even though I wasn't saved, I knew they were wrong still, I didn't want my children to repeat the same thing. Because I didn't want them to have to stand before God doing the same things their sinful dad did. Does that make sense to you? And that's the way we should all be. We should want our children to be better than we are. We should want our children to be more obedient to God than we are, but that doesn't give us a pass to not be close to God. We should show and lead by example. Amen? Hey, child, you need to pray. Are you praying with them? Did you show them how to pray? Do they see you pray? What about read your Bible? Well, hey, we should all read the Bible. We'll say amen to that. But are you reading the Bible to your child? Because remember, there's a certain age when they start learning how to read. But their ears work before that. Aren't you glad? Now, it doesn't always appear that way, especially when they turn teenagers. But the thing is, we are to give them. Faith cometh by? And hearing by? Okay. And, Proverbs chapter 1, it says the beginning of wisdom and the understanding comes from the Word of God. And it all comes from God, and we need to teach our children these things. But we need to understand and properly apply what time to correct, or as the Bible says, beat. Correct it with the rod to train our children. But then there's this word reproof. Blame expressed to the face. Censure for a fault, reprehension. When they do wrong the first time, we can kindly and pleasantly tell them, hey, this is not right. How many of you have ever heard of a screaming banshee? How many of you had screaming banshees in your home? Don't tell me who it was. Does that make you want to listen? Or does that make you want to run for cover? Does God scream at us? does God yell at us? Now, we might think he's yelling at us, but that's probably because we're not listening. But, you know, God tries to get our attention with that still small voice, with the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit, and we should pay attention to that. But at the same time, when we are trying to train our children and correct our children when they do wrong, and again, if they didn't know better, we need to train them, look, this is not right, this is not pleasing to the Lord, and honestly, that should be the only correction needed. Okay? But if they continue to do it after they've been taught, and again, it may take two or three times for it to find its place in their brain where it makes sense. It didn't have to make sense, by the way, but we need to teach them, this is right, this is wrong. And as you go through the book of Proverbs, you will see Solomon, now wait a minute, Solomon, how many wives did he have? How many concubines he have? Should we take his advice? Now wait a minute. He messed up, didn't he? Didn't David mess up? How many of you enjoy Psalm 23? Should we listen to Psalm 23 because David messed up? Well, if you're wise, you're going to realize it's not David's word, it's God's word. If you're wise, you're going to realize it's not Solomon's words, even though God gave them to him, it's God's word. That'd be the same thing as, well, I need to take everything Brother Beck says as the gospel truth and obey everything. Listen, the authority is not in me. The authority is in the word of God. And by the way, yes, I've messed up. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I've sinned against God. I don't say that proudly or boastfully. I say that ashamedly. But listen, I am not the reason you should listen to anything. Is it God's word? Is it what the Bible teaches? That's what we need to do. And so keep that in mind. Talking about spanking, talking about correcting children. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because there are some cults, hey, they'll even teach you you can spank your wife. Gentlemen, you're stupid if you do that. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says it's okay. Also, you have to go to sleep sometime. Okay? And I know a lot of females, a lot of ladies that have frying pans. Just saying. But seriously, I don't find that anywhere, but there are some people that teach that. You are one. You're not her father. You're not her mother. And nowhere do I find husbands, chastise your wives. Husbands, correct your wives. And ladies, it's not in the Bible. Ladies, correct your husbands. Now, if he's wrong, talk about it. Amen. And we'll get in that in a different day, maybe. We'll see. But we're talking about raising children. Raising children and what the Bible says. So I'm going to read verse 14. Now, we're still in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 14. Are we all okay? Raising children is not for sissies. But at the same time, it can be a wonderful, glorious experience if we'll do it God's way. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Remember, the whole purpose is to train our children because they're learning, because they're not born with this instant knowledge. We are to train them what is pleasing to God and what is not pleasing to God. But if we are hypocritical, if we are, today you're going to obey this, tomorrow it doesn't matter, we're creating confusion. How many of you, don't raise your hand, you don't even have to say amen to this, just think about it. How many of you were lazy in your parenting? I don't want to deal with this right now, even though I should, and therefore we bring about inconsistency. And then we wonder why they're 10 times worse the next time, so to speak. So keep that in mind. Consistency is one of the main things missing in all of our lives and every aspect of our life. It's hard to be consistent when our flesh is constantly warring against us. The old man is still alive, but we need to submit that old man to the cross and crucify him daily and let God have the rule and reign in our lives. So here it is. It's talking about correcting. It's talking about, you know, chastising your child, even spanking your child. I'll put it in spanking for our terms today. The word beat can be taken out of context just in what we understand it to be today. You know, a husband beating his wife, which should never happen. or a wife beating her husband, which should never happen. You know, usually when you hear the word beat outside of sports, you know, you're thinking this is something terrible. Well, it's just talking about striking, getting attention, helping them to realize there are consequences for doing wrong. And the whole focus of it all is that God has told us what we should do and what we should not do. And therefore, we need to train them to know what is pleasing in His sight. How many of you have kept the Ten Commandments perfectly? Thank you for no amens on that one. You would have just ruined it by raising your hand and lying. But the truth of the matter is, we're to train our children the Ten Commandments. Not for salvation, but for what God expects. The first four of the commandments deal with our relationship with God. The next six deal with our relationship with man. This is why Jesus could easily give us the two commandments in the New Testament, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. He said all the prophets, all the Bible hangs on these two laws. Amen? Our relationship with God and our relationship with mankind. You are training your child, good or bad, no matter what you may think, on how you handle things. And we need to be very careful how we train them. Our children, as I mentioned last week, they know how to play mom against dad and dad against mom. Be wise, mom and dad, you're one. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. Of course, God was speaking to Israel, but He was talking about they need to be in agreement with Him. And that He was going to deal with all of their iniquities. God is going to deal with all of our iniquities. Best thing we can do is learn to acknowledge that God is right and that we're not. But we can be right if we will do what He tells us to do. How many of you want your children to go to hell? Thank you. None of us should want our children to go to hell. I don't want my children to go to hell. I don't want my grandchildren to go to hell. But I need to make sure I'm representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in a way that would draw them to Him. Now, God does chastise His children. We know this. So please understand that. And again, I do want to reiterate this that I said last week. Moms and dads, you need to be on the same page about disciplining your children. Too many parents are looking for friends in their children. They are not your friends. You're not to be their best friend. Listen to me. You're to be their example. They need to understand that there is authority in life. We are living in a day and age where all authority is shunned. Where it's being taught, if you don't agree with it, you don't have to obey it. And this is all an attack on the nuclear family. It's all an attack against God. So who do you think is behind all of this? It's Satan. But a lot of times we want to blame Satan for things that we do. Okay? But moms and dads, our children should see unity in us concerning correction, teaching, chastisement. They ought to see unity every single time. Do moms and dads agree all the time on what is the severity of this punishment? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And how many arguments have been held between mom and dad because there's no agreement on which way to correct the child? We can act like it doesn't exist. It exists. But who tells us to correct our children? This is the main thing. God does He not? God tells us to correct our children. And so thinking of that, looking at everything that's taking place, are you in agreement with God? Now you can tell me you agree with God, but if you don't chastise your children, correct your children, and again, it can be verbally, or if necessary, it could be through the means of applying the Board of Education or a rod. We just need to follow that rod example, amen? So keeping that in mind, are you in agreement with God that your child is a sinner? Because you're a sinner, amen? My little precious angel, they can't do anything wrong. That is not true. You're fooling yourself. Okay? But God tells us to. Moms and dads, hey, before you get married, that ought to be a conversation you have with your potential spouse. That'll help you avoid some problems in your marriage. There's a lot of things you ought to talk with that person that you're thinking you're wanting to marry, biblically speaking. And that will help you to realize, are you guys in agreement? Do you believe the same things? How many marriages just became because, oh, she's pretty. Oh, he's handsome. Oh, he's smart. And didn't even consider that now you're one. And there's going to come times that you have children. Who's going to take care of the child? Who's going to discipline the child? Hello? Who's going to do this in the house? Who's going to do that in the house? How many realize that women should do all the dishes? Why are y'all laughing? The only verse that I found in the Bible that talks about dishes is a man wiping the dish. Sorry, guys. My wife says it's my job to fix coffee in the morning because of Hebrews. Okay. Yeah. But seriously, raising children, grandchildren, it's a very important thing that God has entrusted us with. And we need to do our best to obey the Lord, be in agreement with Him. Sometimes reproof is necessary. That's where you talk to Him face to face. Hey, this is wrong. But then the rod is necessary, and sometimes the rod and reproof are necessary. One of the things that my kids absolutely hated, and my wife hated too, you don't mind me sharing personal things, do you? Not only would my children be corrected physically, I'd give them a lecture. And I've been told that the lectures were worse than the spanking. Because I always tried to explain to them, this is why I'm doing this. And sometimes the thought was, just shut up and beat me, okay? let's just get this thing over with. But I wanted them to understand why. And they need to understand why. And we do need to do that. And sometimes we can let them say why too many times. But we just need to train them, we need to love them, and again, Christ is our example, our Heavenly Father is our example, and are we mimicking Him? So what are some of the fruits that come about from disciplining children? In chapter 22, which is the chapter right before this, it says, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far away. So the benefit or the fruit of this, you can drive foolishness out of your child's life. Now, what is the root word of foolishness? Fool. And what does the Bible say about the fool? The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. If you do not correct your children, you're teaching them there's no higher authority. There's always a higher authority. I don't care if you're at home, at school, have a job, in college, in the military. We always laugh about those people who say, nobody's going to tell me what to do, and they join the military, right? But that's just our foolishness. That's just how... Well, anyways. When you think about it, the rod will drive foolishness away from the child. As we already read in verse 14 of chapter 23, it can deliver your child from hell. Chapter 29, turn there with me. We're going to kind of pick up some speed here, but I want to make sure that I talked about beating and the rod and things of that nature, because if we don't explain things in depth, some people will take it, run with it, and will carry out things the wrong way. And we don't want that. I don't want that for you, and I hope you don't want that for me. Look at verse 15. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But, now think about this, but a child left to himself bringeth his father to shame. Did I do something wrong? Bringeth his mother to shame. Now think about that. But the rod and reproof, if we use it correctly, it'll give our children wisdom. How many of you want your child to be wise? Wise as serpents, harmless as doves? Does Jesus tell us to be that way? All right. The beginning of wisdom and understanding is the fear of the Lord. Now, we need to teach our children to fear the Lord. Does that mean run and hide from Him? No. Why was God seeking Adam? Is it because Adam was afraid of God, or Adam knew that he had messed up? Adam knew that he had messed up, but God, was he wanting Adam to hide? Was he wanting him to do that? No, he wanted him to come to him. We need to teach our children they can come to us. What if your child makes a huge, huge sin? And they try to approach you. And it's going to bring shame. It's going to destroy people's appearance of you. And how you brought up that child. But they messed up and they try to come to you. How are you going to act? Will you receive them? Listen to them? Or will you say, depart from me, I never knew you? What did Christ do with us? What does Christ want us to do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And sadly, moms and dads, I'm guilty of this, I don't know if you were or not. Sadly, it was more about, well, what will people think about me when they find out my child did this? That is not the reason at all. That's just pride. Selfishness. It should be more about, how is this going to affect their relationship with God? How can we get this restored? How can God fix this? There's a lot of things, mom and dads, we cannot fix. We want to. And I promise you this, children, adults, children that are adults are harder to raise than children that are young. We can't just go over and give them the rod of correction anymore. We would like to, right? But how many of you have realized you're not in control? But we can help God to be in control. God is the ultimate authority. And so just keep that in mind, if you will. Your child will receive wisdom, okay? Verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. How many of you want to have rest and peace in your house, raising children? Well, that's why we need to correct them and help them understand. You can do this, you cannot do this. To go to heaven? No. To please the Lord. The only way you can go to heaven is by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. Trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Think about that. That's what we need to teach our children as well. They need to know about salvation. They need to understand that. But we can have rest and we can have delight in our children. There are some parents, when that child gets up out of bed, the parents cringe. Sad but true. They're ready to find someone else to care for their child so they don't have to deal with their child. God gave that child to you. Don't shirk your responsibility. We will all stand before him. What are the fruits of not disciplining our child? Well, we can look at those same verses and look at the opposite. Your child will act foolishly. Act like a hooligan, right? How many of you know what hooligans are? Your child probably or may not get saved. And how long will they be in hell if they don't get saved? For all eternity. There is no escape from hell once you're there. Please understand that. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. I'm still looking for the upper taker. Amen? I'm still looking for that rapture. Your child may not get saved. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I've applied this verse not only to a person personally, but what would it do for me to work so hard and be unavailable to my family and I lose my children's soul? That they never heard about Christ from me, a parent who says they're a Christian, a parent who says they love the Lord. The first people our children ought to hear about Jesus from is us. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers that teach children about the Lord. But they need to hear it at home first. And it's not the church's responsibility to teach your child about Jesus. Hello? Amen. So please keep these things in mind. They may not get saved. That is the ultimate failure. Your child will not have wisdom. In Proverbs 29, let's turn over there. We already talked about this just a second ago. Your child will bring you, and it specifically said mothers, to shame. You will not have rest nor delight in your soul. Should we pray for our children? Should we worry about our children? Should we be concerned about their well-being and how they're living their lives? Sure, but like I said, once they're adults, we really don't have much influence on that anymore. That's why it's important while we have them in the home that we do as much as we can to prepare them to live for God, to know who He is, to be good citizens in our society. Amen? Look at our society today. How many of you like the society we live in today? How many of you that are up in years have seen a dramatic change in our society? We went from a God-fearing nation to a God-denying nation. And yet we have churches everywhere. What happened? We're not doing our job. We're not doing our job. But the good news is Christ still wins. He's already won. We need to do our part. We need to do our part. So please keep these things in mind. And by the way, as far as husband and wives go, our children will learn from us how to treat their spouse. Is that important? They will learn how to treat their children from you. Generational sins. How many of you have ever heard of that? To the third and fourth generation, right? What we do is teaching our children what they can do. Even if it's something we told them, you can't do this. Now here's something, and you may not agree with me. I may get your bad looks today. Why is there a certain age that a child can begin smoking? Why is there a certain age a child can begin drinking alcoholic beverages? Now to the world, that makes sense. But if it's okay to do it at this age, why is it not okay to do it at that age? Now, believe me, I don't want my child getting married at 5 years old. And there's a time to do these things as well. But if it's legal and if it's lawful, why are we prohibiting them from doing these things? Do we need laws? Aren't you glad that it's against the law to drive drunk or under the influence? But what do we teach our children? Okay? Do we teach children skills in life? We should be. Teach them how to do things. There's a lot of work in raising kids. That's why we need God. That's why we need our Heavenly Father to help us, because there is absolutely no way we can do it alone. Not right. And I want to do things right. And, you know, I did my best with my boys, but I had my opportunity. I made lots of mistakes. I'll let you know that. That's why I am no authority up here to tell you how to do these things. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And from what I can tell, a lot of you are in agreement with what I say. But are we in agreement with God? That's the most important thing. And do you think God can still make a difference in our lives? Maybe these things haven't been taking place, and I know I mentioned this last week, but we can start now. You haven't been praying? Start now. You hadn't been reading the Bible? Start now. Aren't you glad every day is a new day? How many of you can change what you did yesterday? We can't. We can't even change what we did this morning. But from this point forward, with God's help, those things can change and we can be doing what we need to be doing. Amen? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for your attention. And again, this is none of this is to try to make you feel bad. I hope quite the opposite. I hope it encourages you. I hope it challenges you. And I hope you'll be in prayer for me and my grandchildren and my children. I still want them to know the Lord if they don't know Him. And the majority of my grandchildren are too young to understand their need for the Lord yet. But I'm praying for them. They see me read the Bible. They hear us pray. And they need to see those things, Mom and Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, Great-Grandma, Great-Grandpa. Those kids need to see it because they need a witness in their life. And guess what? God's allowed you to have that opportunity. Isn't that wonderful? Let's represent Him well. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your mercy most of all because, Father, I made a mess of a lot of things. But, Lord, You can overcome that. Lord, You can do the impossible. And Father, we may think that we're beyond help in certain areas of our lives, but Father, You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, there's nothing too hard for You. Father, help us to truly and fully trust in You. Lord, I lift up each and every family that is represented here today, those that will be listening through the internet. Father, we need help. We know we're in the last days. Father, looking at it just from an outside view, it appears there's no hope, but Father, we know that You can still accomplish things if we will allow You to. Father, help us to love You the way we should. Help us to love our families the way we should. And may we be able to stand before You and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, I pray for those that are struggling this morning. I pray for those that feel that they have absolutely no hope. Please remind them of who You are, and please help them and give them strength. We ask these things in Christ's name for His honor and glory. Amen.